Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and the commentary on today's economic and political events. Well, I think you'll all know what we'll be discussing today, of course, this Wednesday afternoon, April 17th. Oh, man. It's
December 7th. Actually, it should be December 9th or 10th.
Yeah, I know.
Right after Pearl Harbor Day, that's what we... Day of infamy.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, for April 17th, 2013, what a week it's been. Well, actually, what a 4 days it has been. A lot of crazy things going on, and of course, we'll be discussing those today. But first, let's go ahead and talk about what the precious metals have done today. Gold doesn't know what it wants to do. 1375 seems to like that area, up 470 today. We had a high of almost 1400, 1396, but had a hard time staying there. Silver was down 6 pennies today. Same thing, 2338 today. Had a high of 2381. Platinum was down 20 bucks today at 1431, and palladium showing a number down 15 at 666. We don't do numbers here like that here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. At 665. And the USDX today up 0.80 at 82.83. Crude oil got hammered today, down another $2 today at 86.74. And the markets, let's see what the paper markets are doing today. U.S. stocks again lowered, took back almost all of its gains from yesterday, and bad reporting by the banks. And Apple, they're not laughing at Apple. Apple drops from 700 to 400. You don't hear the commentators on CNBC laughing about that, as they do like gold. And but you had the Dow down about 138 points today at 14,618. NASDAQ down 60 at 3204. S&P down 22 at 1552. 10-year yield, it was down into the 60s, 1.70 right now. And I mentioned oil down. And so, Al, I guess you and I can laugh about Apple being down.
I don't care about Apple particularly. I'm not closely enough.
I don't either.
But the day will come, we will have our opportunity to laugh. And when it finally comes that the people who invest in paper lose their assets, as we've been pointing out for several years, the risk that's inherent in paper, and it's not just a sudden destruction of wealth. That's part of it. That's one potential in it, in my opinion, will take place eventually. We don't know when. But in the meantime, all of your paper assets are being eroded by inflation. Government says inflation is 1.7%. John Williams says we're probably closer to 9%. I mean, you're getting robbed every day that you're hanging on to paper, folks. And some folks are hanging on to paper and they're, ha, 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 ha. We didn't get beat on, the way gold did. But you will. Be patient. Wait your turn. They'll get to you. Huh? So we'll have our chance to laugh at the rest of them before this is done, Melody. It has to be this way if the debt is as great as John Williams and the Congressional Budget Office declare. Williams says the total national debt's about $90 trillion, not $16 trillion, as is alleged by Obama. Congressional Budget Office says it's over $200 trillion. If the debt is as great as Williams and the Congressional Budget Office allege, then paper debt instruments must eventually be largely repudiated. The debt has to be repudiated. The paper debt instruments have to be repudiated. Said it 1,000 times probably, well, maybe not that many, but several dozen. And if and when that happens, those of you holding paper are going to say, golly, I sure wish I'd bought some gold. Oh, what else we got, Melody?
Well, I guess Boston is having its week. I guess there's a lot of things going on in Boston. The federal courthouse and the hospitals both were evacuated with a bomb threat. Not too much information is coming out about that other than this is what is happening. They had a bomb threat. Let me see if I can find any more information.
Who phones in a bomb scare right now, even if they don't even have firecrackers, I mean, it's going to be believed. And people will evacuate, and then they better hope to God they can't. There's no way of tracing that phone call. I mean, some of this will be just kids doing dumb things.
Yeah.
And some kid who's a freshman in high school said, hey, why don't we call in and threaten a bomb scare? It'll be cool, man. Wait till they trace that call back to you, sonny. It won't be cool then.
Mm-hmm. But here I see a headline, Al. We talked a little bit earlier about the immigration bill.
Yep.
And how it bans racial profiling, but also the immigration bill contains free phones, taxpayer-funded free cell phones.
For illegal immigrants?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awfully generous.
In the reform bill.
Yep. Those people are out of their minds. And part of the reason they're saying there's no racial profiling on this, and they're trying to make the proposed immigration bill, they don't want it to seem like an amnesty, but that's all it's going to be. They're just going to say, you can all stay here now. All right, well, they'll tack on a couple of other requirements to become citizens, but it won't amount to anything to speak of. They are simply going to allow a bunch of illegal aliens to stay in this country and not take the jobs Americans don't want, but take the wages Americans don't want. And in doing so, they will help to depress the standard of living for people across the country. If you got one group of people that are willing to work for $5 an hour, I guarantee it's going to be hard for the average person to catch 10 or 20. It'll be easy to hire people for $5 an hour. And it's contrary to the best interest of the vast majority of the American people. And I want you to understand, I don't mind the illegal aliens. I'm not complaining about them. My complaint is with the people in the cat house on the Potomac, who I affectionately refer to as the treasonous whores. That would be the congressmen and the senators and the president, of course, and probably the federal courts, who are prepared to allow this invasion by illegal aliens. I don't blame the illegal aliens for coming here. Right? They've got plenty of problems, sufficient trouble. they can see an opportunity. If I'm going to throw $100 bills out on my front lawn, I don't blame other people for taking them. What I blame, however, is if I've got someone working for me and he's spreading my $100 bills on the front lawn and letting his buddies take the $100 bills, that makes me angry. My complaint is with the Congress, the Senate, the President, who will not defend this country. We've got enough resources to invade Afghanistan and invade Iraq. And Iran, you just wait your turn. We'll get to you shortly. We can involve ourselves in attacks on Libya and God knows where else, but we cannot defend this country. Again, my complaint is with the congressmen and the senators. That's my complaint. And I look at it, I figure part of the reason they want the illegals in here is because our Congress and our Senate are, by and large, a bunch of crooks right now who see the law as something that you can just make a buck on. It's not something that has to be obeyed. It's something that can be exploited and profited from and brokered. And there are too many individuals in the cat house on the Potomac who are nothing but open crooks. They are taking lobbyists' money to pass any bill anybody wants. They don't read the bills. They just take the money. They broker the law rather than legislate. And I think they have a lot of, given their inherently criminal nature, I think they have a natural affinity for criminals who come across the border to enter this country. I think the only people that really disturb Congress are the people who believe the law is something to be obeyed rather than a hustle and an opportunity to exploit other people. It's the honest people in this country that give Congress, cause for concern. But the rest of them, crooks, come on down. Washington's a bunch of crooks, so they'll let the criminals come into this country also. So,
well, you know, Alice, and you're right, it's the same thing. There's two pages of this bill, which was, came out, dropped out in the dead of night. And everybody thinks this Senator Marco Rubio, can't say anything bad about Senator Marco Rubio, but on the other hand, it is coming from his district, and also they're even dubbing it as the Rubio phone instead of the Obama phone or the Marco phone. But whatever, you have Track Phone. It's a company that most likely will benefit from this type of a government program. And guess where that's based at? It's based in Miami, Florida. It's based in Rubio's Miami, Florida. So you're right.
Just
money,
a hustle,
money, money, money. Yep.
An opportunity to make a fast buck. At whose expense?
And to get
it's
votes.
Not about earning money. Mm-hmm. It's about picking some group of people, and that would be largely the middle class, the people who are foolish enough to trust this government, and let's hustle them. Let's see how much money we can squeeze out of them. Makes me angry, and I don't mean a little bit angry. I mean, it makes me, it just infuriates me. And nobody cares. Just the way business is done right now in Congress. It's just the way it's done, and it shouldn't be. It's wrong, and perhaps we'll stop that at the next election, or perhaps create some resistance. Maybe we'll get some people elected who actually are not just there to make a fast buck. I know that's unlikely, but it's not impossible. What else do we have, Melody?
Oh, well, let's see here. I don't know. What do you want to talk about, Al?
Well, we got something here. Here's one for cops armed with cameras meet with mixed reviews. This is down in Arizona, probably Phoenix. I'm not sure. Let me see. We're Mesa, Arizona. The Mesa Police Department is halfway through a year-long high-tech experiment equipping officers with cameras. The cameras attach to glasses and record everything the officer sees and hears. Huh? They have mixed reports on this. Some of the officers like it, some of them don't. But I think this is a good idea. There are a lot of reports of police abuse on the internet. It may be that they seem, the only thing we see on the internet is when the police are beating someone up. I won't say that's the only thing, but it's frequently there. It might be disproportionately reported or have more impact than is legitimately the case. But if a police officer were full-time, while he's on the job, he's wearing a little camera that records everything he sees and everything he hears, guarantee you it's going to cause the police force to behave in a more professional manner. The probability of seeing police officers all of a sudden run wild and start tasering and kicking some poor SOB who's not trying to resist would be diminished dramatically. I think it would be a good thing. So they've had they have mixed results on this. They have, let me see if I can find it. 87% of the officers believe cameras help them create more accurate reports. I mean, once these cameras are there, it's going to eliminate a bunch of he said, she said. People are going to have, this is what happened. They'll be able to see in the event of any dispute, and they'll know who's right and wrong, and it will close down an opportunity for lying. 81% say officers are more cautious when making decisions while wearing the cameras. I think that's a good thing. I don't want these guys just behaving spontaneously and thinking how much fun it is to club somebody. Let's use a little more caution on making decisions. 77% say officers act more professionally while wearing the cameras. Think it's got to be true. Bound to be. If they're under surveillance, they are going to be on their good behavior. 34% say the cameras should be adopted department-wide. That implies that 66% are essentially saying they don't want them or they are indifferent to them. 23% it says the cameras make their jobs easier. 25% say cameras are comfortable to wear. That means three-quarters of them don't really like wearing them. Regardless, I think it would be a good thing. It would instill a great deal of confidence in the police department at a time when a lot of people have lost confidence in police in general. And if they were under constant surveillance, we had a higher probability. A lot of people that are afraid of the police right now would feel a lot more comfortable if they knew that every confrontation with the police, every traffic stop and so on, there'd be a recording. And if push comes to shove, somebody's got to explain what the truth of the matter is. I think it would be a good idea. But speaking in terms of why are people afraid of the police, there is growing fear, in part because police are willing to engage in physical violence more so than they have in the past, or even if it's not more physical violence, it is at least more that's seen and witnessed, all right? We see it on TV. We see it on the Internet. We see it on YouTube. It seems like more. Is there more or not? I don't know. I think there is, but who knows? Maybe it's just there's more reporting. What's the problem with police? Supreme Court has ruled they don't have to tell us the truth. They can lie to us, all right? The police have no obligation to tell us the truth, at least when they're interrogating us. They can lie to us. Number two, police enjoy immunities, official immunity and, I can't think of the other term, but official immunity anyway, for much of their conduct, which means they can beat the crap out of people and still get away with it in many instances, hiding behind official immunity. It means they are not subject to the law. And lastly, the Supreme Court has ruled that the police have no obligation to protect the people. They no longer serve and protect we the people. They serve and protect their employers. They don't serve and protect the people. They can lie to the people. And if they thump us on the head, they can get away with it under the guise of official immunity. I guarantee that's scary. I'm Alfred Adusk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back shortly. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Program's brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. This is Financial Survival, and Discount Gold and Silver is 1-800-375-4188. Give Melody a call after the program, and if you're looking for gold, give her a call. Silver is still a little bit peculiar right now, Melody. Some of it's available, but some of it might not be. Do you want to explain that as part of your special today?
Absolutely. And silver, big demand in silver and gold, you know. Silver Eagles are still a little unavailable. I've been aware of some folks out there selling Silver Eagles over $30 per coin. It's a pretty big premium considering we're at $23 for the spot price. And I don't understand why anybody would purchase them at the $30 level. You're looking to buy silver at a lower price. Be patient. Those premiums, we'll have a better idea. Maybe I was hoping to have some information today, maybe Monday, as far as the allotments coming out of the Treasury for the Silver Eagles. By then, you also might have a steadier price in silver. It's going to fluctuate. Are we going to have a $3 rise in silver by Monday? Personally, I don't think so. We could. It's possible, and I'd like to see it, but I don't think we're going to see that type of a rise with silver by Monday. The problem with silver is it can swing to those degrees if there is a change in the markets. You can see that big a change, but I'm not anticipating it. We have options expirations next week. I think they're going to keep prices at this level till next week, and then they're going to take the other side of the trade. They're going to run the prices up, and they could take that side of the trade. So they're making millions of dollars, not only in the gold market and silver market, as they take it down and profit from these lows, but they'll also ride it back up. It's just what they do. That's how they make their money. And it's rigged that way. And we buy physical. So we have the real thing and not the paper. So why does anybody want to buy silver at $30? I don't understand, because you're defeating the purpose of buying silver at a lower price. You're paying a much higher price. Yes, product is tight. We do have Morgan silver dollars. Now, that premium didn't come down. It didn't have the big drop like the spot price did for silver. And you can purchase the circulated Morgan silver dollars for 32-32.50 range. We also have 40% silver. Those are the Kennedy half dollars that was minted after they after 1964. They minted them for 4 years, and they dropped the silver content to 40%. You can buy that for a little over a buck over a spot. And yes, you do get more coins, and yes, it can be a little bit of a storage problem. However, if you're looking to buy cheap silver, I would think that the 40% silver is a better buy than even bars would be, because it's still coinage. You can still spend it. It's still recognizable. So folks, don't go and be out there spending, you know, that big of a premium on silver eagles, because a week from now we could very well be selling them at a much lower premium. And so therefore you just have to be patient. It's human nature. Folks want things that they can't have, and but be a little just be a little aware of what the best value is. That's what you, that's why you buy gold and silver, and I'm the only one that's going to be telling you this. I also had an email from somebody about a website that wanted to know, I guess it it said that they're changing servers, and he wanted to, and nobody is returning his calls or emails, and he was concerned about what this is going on. It's hard to say when you have these types of markets. People don't have products, so maybe they'll put something up like that so they don't have to worry about telling people they can't sell it to them. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the it could very well just be something as simple as they are changing their servers. But you would think that their phone calls would be answered and phone calls returned. So I don't know. We'll have to play that out and follow that out. But that was the Silver Bear Cafe. So if anybody has any information on them, let us know, and we'll share that with all the listeners. So be smart when you're buying the product. Don't get caught up with the product not being there and the premiums, and pay a much higher premium. Just like 90% silver. We had it a couple of weeks ago, but the premium was $4. Why would anybody pay $4 premium for 90% silver? I wouldn't. There'll be something else at a better price. Our special today, to move on, we're going to talk about the $20 gold pieces. It's real interesting to me how I think the $20 gold pieces, and even the Morgan silver dollar, something that is not mass produced anymore, is providing a sense of a real market in gold. Because of the supply and demand, that's how, what promotes their premiums and maintains their premium, and that's how they fluctuate. Generic gold gives you not only the opportunity to gain with the change in the spot price, but also the benefit of the fluctuating premiums. And we certainly saw this to be true in the past couple of days. We saw gold dropping from $1,565 to yesterday's close of $1,386, and that was about $180 change. The price of generic gold, like for Mint State 61, $20 Saints, that only fell by $55. And if you move up to the grade, you saw a little bit higher drop, but not as severe as the $180. So the supply and demand has been strong. The demand has been strong. That eliminates the supply, and therefore the premiums have stayed at a little bit more level price than what the bullion price is. So it's a great time to be adding these to your portfolio. One of the best value coins out there are Mint State 64, $20 Saints. It's only at a small premium over the 63 Saint, and it's only like a $40 change from a 62 Liberty. So we have a little package here. Mint State 64 Saint Gaudens, one of those. 40% silver, $70 face value. This package includes shipping, and you're looking at $2,450, and you are getting about 20 ounces of silver for the 40% silver. That's kind of how I figured it out. So $2,450 includes your shipping, $70 face value of the 40% silver, and a Mint State 64 St. Gaudens gold coin, all for the small premium of $2,450. So they can call us at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And buying is certainly stronger than anyone selling. And since this all started, I had one inquiry about selling, and no one else has sold. So they've been all buyers, and that's how we're going to beat them, is we have to continue to accumulate our gold and silver.
And we saw reports early on, Friday of last week and Monday of this week, the ratio of buyers to sellers was 50 to 1. People understand, people that are in the gold market, they understand now's the time to buy. And it's not as if it were, you know, 25 to 25 or 25 to 26, the ratio. This isn't close to being even. People understand this is a great buying opportunity. So not many people are selling. They understand it's not a selling opportunity, but it is a buying opportunity.
And it's interesting now when I always watch CNBC, and you have to know what your enemies are talking about and how they're setting up the day, and you can pick up little tidbits and so forth. They just laugh at the gold market.
Yep.
I am shocked at the amount of time that they're spending on gold. It's almost the same amount of time Pierce Morgan has spent on gun control. I mean, mm-hmm. It is out of the realm.
It's part of an agenda. It's not just news. It's
an
attempt to.
It is an agenda. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, we have an agenda here.
Yes.
All right. And we've had an agenda, which is to promote the sale of gold and to appreciate the value of gold. And we've that's been an agenda for this program for years, but that is the nature of this program. We have people that are allegedly presenting the news in an objective manner to the American people on mainstream programs, and they're just sitting back and laughing, and it's pretty funny. We will see who laughs last. Understand? He who laughs last laughs best. And if the ideas we've been advocating all along, the paper has to fail, the paper debt instruments have to be substantially repudiated. If that's the case, those who are laughing now will be crying at some time in the foreseeable future. The trend for gold has been one, that it remains valuable virtually no matter what. It has its ups and downs, but in the long term, this trend has been going on for a couple of thousand years. I don't think there is, with the exception of water, I wonder how many other substances, commodities have been as highly valued. And at least their demand is as persistent as that of gold. Water, food, gold, what else? You know, dancing girls, that's important. We have to remember the dancing girls.
Dancing boys.
There's always been a demand for dancing girls. That's always true.
Dancing
but,
boys.
I don't know about that. That's something I studied. But in any case.
Pool boys.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll get you out of that one, Al.
I'm just wondering, is there anyone we're looking for a pool senior citizen? Not necessarily a pool boy, but a pool senior citizen. I'm not sure if that works or not, but I might apply. We'll watch. If there's a demand, who knows? I might apply.
We talk about preparing, and I want to share this with the listeners. Al, I shared it with you prior to the program, and that is I received a call yesterday from a client, and he actually ran in the marathon. And he was describing to me, you know, how it affected them and when they finished and how the whole race is set up and it's done in groups and so forth. But one of the comments that he told me, he says he realized also as he was reflecting on the next day when he was reflecting back on everything that had happened, is the one thing that caught his attention was the lack of food. He was staying in a hotel. And there was no food. The trucks weren't allowed in for food. The lack of supply for food. And he says, Melody, he says, I realize that if something of an event happens on a larger scale, he says, food. He says, there will be no food. And so, folks, don't forget your food.
We've got a just-in-time supply system, and it exists in not only in hotels, but also in our grocery stores. You go into the grocery store at 10 o'clock at night, you'll see people stocking the shelves. They are wheeling boxes and cases in, and they're stocking the shelves. They're stocking your grocery store on a daily basis, and there's only enough food in the grocery store under normal circumstances to last for perhaps 3 days of normal demand. And if anything happens to shut down this just-in-time supply system, there isn't going to be any food in the grocery stores. Maximum food you got is 3 days' worth. And that's assuming people don't hoard. Assuming everyone shares equally, we can get by for 3 days. In the hotel, they probably don't. It's probably coming in on a daily basis, and the hotel doesn't have anything for tomorrow. They're waiting. Tomorrow morning, it will be delivered. And the day after that, more. And the day after that, more. They're not stocking up for a week or a month in advance. They're just running on the just-in-time supply system, and it is vulnerable. It's very efficient. Very cost-effective, but also very vulnerable. You get a highly efficient system, you also have a very vulnerable system. If anything happens to just-in-time supply systems, guess what? Whatever it is they're supplying, you're going to have to do without until the system is able to reestablish itself. And in a worst-case scenario, that may be a significant amount of time. So, point is, be a good idea. Keep some of those food supplies, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I also saw headlines. I didn't get a chance to follow up on it to see if it was accurate or not. But looters, when you have situations like this and you have food, I mean, they can't, you know, you're only out there. You will be your line of defense.
Yep, that's
against
right.
This type of looters. So, again, you want to keep low profiles. You want to keep what you have private and store up. And,
I've been saying for years, one of the things you want to do if you have any food stored up, you're going to produce some empty cans, some empty bottles, some empty bags, whatever. You better stick them in the neighbor's garbage can. Huh? And he might not have anything, but just the same, if the looters are going through the garbage cans looking to see who's got waste from the food products.
Yep.
If you've got cans and bottles, they know you got some food stored up. Uh-huh. You're going to have to be cautious about where and how you dispose of your garbage. So if you've got a neighbor who's really been aggravating you over the years, you want to look for his garbage can. That's the one where you want to throw your... The looters will break. All right, where's the food? The guy, I don't have any food. Uh-huh. We know you got food. You got all that stuff in the... So it may be
very true.
One of those things to bear in mind. Might be able to get even with that guy who's been bugging you, for the neighbor who's been bugging you for the last 10 years.
There's a lot of things that you could do. You have to think about things. And also, folks, I also believe maybe you need to have food that you can actually stick in a backpack. You can buy, you know, I believe things like the protein bars and things like that. Sure, they're not going to sustain you over a long period of time. However, if you did have to leave them, I mean, it is very difficult to, you know, store the foods that you have on your back and take off. So you do need a little bit of supplies. I even buy tablets. You know, tablets that you can take, and you know, you can get 100 in a package of food. They'll supply you. They'll keep you going. They'll keep you. They won't. They'll keep you alive. So, I mean, these are things that you have to think about. And
these are possibilities, but I think the chances of being able to use one of those bug out bags to escape a problem right now are not too high to my mind, because I think everybody starts trying to break out at the same time, and the roads are going to be so jammed, you're going to be just sitting there and camping in your car before you're done.
Being prepared is thinking about things you would normally prepare for, and I think it is in an important area.
Well, I'll tell you what. If it means thinking about things I wouldn't be prepared for, I'm not going to plan on remarrying my first wife. I'm not prepared for that, but I guarantee you, I do not intend to. But what we're going to do is take a
break.
Absolutely. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstone on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Let's see here. We have a comment in here from Murray. We had a little chuckle over, so we'll share it. He says, our so-called representatives should be required to wear NASCAR-type jumpsuits with their sponsor patches clearly visible for all to see.
I agree. All those trademarks and sponsor patches and rest of that, because right now we have a Congress that is for sale to the highest bidder. And some people would in Congress would sit back and say, well, you don't understand. That's just the way the system is. Well, it's the way the system is because the Congress has made it that way, and primarily by allowing any idiot lobbyist to come in there and ultimately provide political campaign contributions, which they deny are bribes, but I guarantee you they're bribes. That's what they are. There's something wrong with a political campaign contribution system, and it virtually compels congressmen, if they want to be reelected, they have to play the game. They've got to go out there and steal money, get it from somebody. They're not going to get it from me or Melody, so they will take it from people who want to bribe them. That's the way the system exists right now, and what should we have for a political campaign contribution system? I think you should be able to give. I think living men and women should be able to give virtually any amount they want to a particular political candidate. I don't care about restrictions on living men and women. Understand? Not corporations, not institutions, living men and women. And you can only give political campaign contributions to those candidates who you are eligible to vote for. Huh? For example, if I'm living in Oregon, I can contribute to a congressman who represents my district in Oregon. I can contribute to both senators who represent the state of Oregon. I cannot contribute to anybody over in Idaho. They're not in my district. I'm not eligible to vote for them. I am only voting for the people in my district. If we had this kind of political campaign contribution laws, then your congressman would have to represent his district. All right? He'd have to represent the people in his district. he would not be representing China, for example. We had allegations during the Clinton administration that Bill Clinton was taking political campaign contributions from China. Huh? That is not even conceivable under the political campaign contribution laws that I'm suggesting would be a good idea. They would not be able to take money from corporations. They would not be able to take money from unions, although people could combine together. If you want to spend, you want to send them $1 million, fine. Send them $1 million. Fine with me. But every nickel that is contributed to a particular candidate must be reported on the internet maybe for 2 weeks before they can spend it. And cumulative, if one guy is putting $20 million into the pocket of a particular candidate, all right, he'd have a lot of money, but he'd also on the internet, we'd know that the president of ABC Manufacturing is the guy who gave him $20 million. We'd know that the congressman is going to represent the president of ABC Manufacturing rather than the majority of the people. It would mean that if people contributed too much, it would throw voters off. They say he's taking all his money from this group over here, that group over there. You know he's in their pocket. I'm not sure if that's making a lot of sense to people, but it has to be. We were in a circumstance back, 20 years ago anyway, where a friend of mine ran for city council in back in Denton, Texas. And she was her opponent was Scott Armey, the son of Dick Armey, congressman from Texas and famous, relatively famous guy. He was potentially a candidate for the presidency and whatever. Didn't work out for him and whatever. Scott Armey, fresh out of college, received $25,000 in political campaign contributions from outside the state of Texas. And this is for running for city council. All right? The woman I knew was running against him. She had $500 or $1,000. That's all she had to run on. Scott had $25,000, and he didn't find it for local, from local supporters. He got it as favor to his father, from people that didn't even live in Texas, let alone in the city of Denton. This is the kind of this has to be stopped. This is wrong. You can't take, if the guy can't vote for you, he can't give you any money. If you're not in his district, if the contributor is not in the district of the particular candidate, say, you know, you can wish him well, but you can't give him any money. For me, this would be a big improvement. And it would, if we did something like that, it's not just an improvement for us. It's even an improvement for the people in Congress and the Senate. It prevents them from stealing. It prevents them from having to steal, from having to compromise, from having. As the game is played right now, you can't get there if you're not a crook. And much of this goes back to that political campaign contribution law. If you can only get your money from people who can vote for you, you might not get money much, but the elections might be conducted on the basis of something rather than major media and signs all over the state. Maybe it just gets done on the grassroots. People get together and they have a, you know, little meeting at somebody's home. They say, well, I'm going to vote for Congressman so-and-so. And somebody else says, no, I'm going to vote for this other guy. In any case, strikes me as a good idea. But I know fundamental problem is political campaign contribution laws. They are conducive to corruption. They need to be changed. What else, Melody?
Here's a question. In the FBI says preliminary tests on a letter sent to Obama indicate the presence of poison rice in the letter, which was intercepted at the White House off-site mail facility, is undergoing further testing because preliminary field tests can be unreliable. It comes the day after officials said a letter sent to Roger Wicker, Senator Roger Wicker, tested positive for rice. And also, is this similar to 9/11, after which anthrax was used in letters?
I don't know. There may be some similarity. It remains to be seen what we've even got here. But for the moment, I believe Kellogg's may be responsible.
Mm.
I think they're trying to drum up business for Snap, Crackle, Pop, Rice and Krispies. That make any sense to you, Melody?
I thought Kellogg was the tiger in your tank.
No, that's
no.
No, that was Tony the Tiger. The Tiger in your tank was Exxon or something like that. I think we're dating ourselves here a little bit insofar as we're referring to commercials that probably haven't been seen for, who knows, 10, 15 years. When was the last time we saw put a tiger in your tank? That's got to be 25 years ago. I didn't think you were old enough to remember commercials that from that date, Melody.
I was told.
Ah, heard about it in a book. I get that.
Internet.
Anyway, Internet. It's... You know, what does cross my mind, though, is this. We allegedly have people who may be sending ricin, which is a powerful poison, to President Obama and one of the senators. We have somebody who's one or more people who are responsible for detonating bombs at the Boston Marathon. We have people who are using firearms to shoot people. The government wants to go after the firearms. They're going after this. Oh, these firearms are terrible. But what we are seeing is evidence that there's more than one way to skin a cat. Right? We have poison, we have bombs, and we have rifles. And when we see that people are not merely shooting, but also bombing, and perhaps also poisoning, now we start to look at a fundamental. What's the common denominator? And the common denominator is anger. It's not just a question of gun nuts shooting. It's a question of people are angry enough to send poison in the mail and plant bombs. We have, it raises the question, why are people so angry? Why are people ready to potentially shoot and potentially bomb and potentially send poison through the mail? What is making people so angry? And government might do well to discover the cause of that anger, because it may be the government itself. And they have to start thinking about, maybe it's not just the guns. Maybe there's a fundamental cause for anger that needs to be addressed, and someone has to start doing what's right for the American people rather than what's right for the special interests. That'd be my guess.
You know, Al, I don't know if this is right insane or wrong insane, but I'm going to say it. You know, when you look around the world and you have all these terrorists, they have a reason. You know, whether it be their religion, whether it be land disputes, whether it be tribal disputes, whether it be political disputes, there's usually some sort of a something backing it, a reason they're doing it.
I agree.
The acts that we're seeing here, they seem so random. And to describe it only as they're angry, it's frightening. I mean, where is America, the people here in this country? Why is there so much anger? And you're right. I mean, is everybody mentally ill? Is that the grouping behind it? The Americans are just whacked out of their skulls?
Everybody except for you and me, Melody. And sometimes I'm not so sure about me.
Hey, so, I mean, it is the difference between it. You know, it's just an observation. But
it's an observation that everyone feels uncomfortable with.
Yes.
All right? Both your observations and mine. And it's not just that you feel uncomfortable, I feel uncomfortable, audience feels uncomfortable, and yet we are in a kind of unstable era where it's likely that we're going to see more acts of violence just because people are being put under enormous stress. And some of this stress is based ultimately, you can trace it back in some instances, I won't say in all, but in some instances, you may be able to trace it back to the fact that the government, in its infinite wisdom, shipped many of our jobs overseas. That makes people angry. They don't have a job. The job went over. The job went to China or went to some third world country so corporations could make more money. We see illegal aliens coming into this country, and government makes no serious effort to remove them or restrict the inflow. Instead, they are rewarded for coming into this country. That makes people angry. There's people out there that are paying income tax, and they are paying their income taxes and are wondering what for. I'm paying money to support a criminal. Where is, and I'm not talking about Congress, the senator, the president. I'm talking about people who don't even belong in this country. I'm paying taxes to support them. That can make people angry. Somewhere along the line, the government has to recognize that there are limits in limited government. And sooner or later, they're going to have to start to respect those limits and realize that if they don't want to get ricin in the mail or who knows what, maybe they're going to actually have to start to obey the Constitution. Are they going to do it? Well, we'll watch and see. But we are living in a time when there is some serious controversy about what the law is and who should obey it. And the government doesn't think it has to obey the law, but they insist that we have to obey the law. And I'm sitting here saying that makes people, I believe that makes people mad. So a lot of things may have to change before this nation begins to calm down. And I don't think it's going to happen in the next 6 months or a couple of years. I think things will get worse before they get better. We've got, what, 2 minutes?
And we had a question, a comment come in from Dora. She says, great show, Melody Alfred, covering survival. Oh, we had a caller. We missed him. She wanted to know about back coins and her bullion in an increment of one or multiples, 10 or more. We do have coins. I'm not quite sure what she means by back coins. So, Dora, if you could clear us up on that, and I can answer you by email. I don't know. Do we have time to take a quick caller, Al?
We have, what do we got? We got 90 seconds still. We have to shut down. But if Ken is still there from Minnesota, sorry, Ken, to keep you on hold. If you're there, what you got?
Yeah, I just want to say that you guys are talking about things that you need. A person can buy a quart of honey for $10 to $12, and it will never go bad. They can give it to their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and it will keep you alive for 1 month, that one quart of honey. And also, Al, I sent you some material. One of the things I sent you is how to build a pyramid where they use common sense and reasoning. I was wondering if you got that information.
I don't recall seeing it, but I get about 200 email a day, and if I spend 3 minutes on each one of them, it'll take me 10 hours. No, I haven't seen it yet. When did you send it?
Oh, a month ago. It was how to build a pyramid and beatific vision, a little booklet. So.
Oh, yeah, I do. I remember that now. Yeah, I remember now. I do remember. Yep, thank you. I get so much stuff up here, I can't remember hardly what I can't remember what we did 3 days ago sometimes. But yes, I did receive it. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. But Ken, we are out of time. Thanks for the tip on honey. We'll have to talk to you another day. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.